Thought for today. Our moral strength lies within ourself. Thought for today. Our moral strength lies within ourself. This is Dr. Herbert Abiley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with a thought for today. Our moral strength lies within ourself. This morning I had a wonderful email from one of our students. She's finished all the work and has proven to be a most exceptional student. And her work takes her into the lives of people who are getting ready to die, terminal people by and large, and a few other people. And so as she's dealing with these people, her heart goes out to them and says, you know, why should they have to suffer so long? Why should they have to have problems so long? Why is life giving them such a raw deal? And indeed, life is giving them a raw deal. Life is giving them exactly what they asked for. Oh, they asked for that? That's right. We put causes in motion. If I only had time, if I only had time to do this, if I only had time to do that, if I only had time, I would like to be a blessing to the world. I'd like to help the world. I'd like to teach the world to sing, you know. And then we create that time through some very interesting ways. Stephen Hawking is the most remarkable man. He has this strange disease that has made his body unable to use his body, unable to use his speaking, unable to do anything except live. But he has a brain that is as big as all outdoors. It's a fabulous brain. And with that brain, he's creating instrumentation with which he is allowing people to enter into his mind and record the things that he's thinking about and the wonderful things he's doing. Now he's a pain in the butt. He's a bother to the world. He's a bother to his wife and his family. He's a bother to everything because he can't do anything for himself. Someone has to always be there to do it for him. Now that's a pain in the neck. We should really die. We should not live under those circumstances. Well, now, from one point of view, that may be true. But from another point of view, what contributions has Stephen Hawking made to the world since his disease became known to him and since he has been living with it these many, many years? What has he done? Has he felt to be nothing? Has he felt to be useless to society and useless to himself? He is having a ball. He is living what he believes, and he has no distractions. Perhaps a distraction of communication, but no distractions when his mind is working, like Einstein would have no distractions. He just went into his own space and did his own thing. Well, now, Stephen Hawking has been in this condition for a long time. But Stephen Hawking presented to the world the fact that I'm a genius. I've got something to offer to you. So now all the world beats a door down, and that too probably. And they're doing everything they can to interpret the things that he's saying and understand the things that he's saying. But this is all noble and good. But if Stephen Hawking was such a brilliant person, why didn't he create himself living in a normal body in which he could communicate and do the things that he would like to do? Because he had mentioned so many times, if I only had time to think, if I only had time to get away from these demands of the body, the demands of the house, the demands of the family, the demand, if I only had time to get off into my own space. Well, he did. He moved into it. And others who have a similar disease move into that space, and other diseases too. So, Irene is working with a lady. I've just told you her name, haven't I? Irene is working with a lady who has this condition. And the lady is in a hospital or in a place where everybody feels sorry for it. Oh, you poor dear, you cannot communicate, you cannot move, you cannot do anything. I know your brain is alive and alert and aware, but you cannot do anything. And so they've been pouring this garbage into her for a long time. And so the lady says, I want to die. Just give me some poison. Let me die. Let me die. And of course, that's not acceptable. But what has this lady to offer to herself and the world? What has she to offer to herself and the world? What she has to offer is the thing that all of us have to offer. To use the concept, thoughts are things. Now, this woman doesn't have to get out and lead a peace march. She doesn't have to go out and create new medicines and create new business that's going to make the world a little better. She has time to think. And with her brilliant mind, alert in every way, she has time to think about what makes the world go round and what's so wonderful about it. Well, this has not been what her world has been telling her. She created herself in a world that said, oh, you poor dear, if you could only die, it'd be so wonderful for your body, for nothing. She's still living because she has a mission to perform of her own choice. A mission to perform of her own choice. Now, perhaps, and what the heck, we help them along. Douglas, what do you want to be when you grow up? You want to be a policeman, a fireman? What do you want to be? An astronaut? What do you want to be? And so Douglas has no idea what he wants to be. But he thinks about it. So we are the catalysts in that lady's life. We talk to her. Well, what do you want to be when you grow up? She says, I'm already grown up. You know, I'm a lady already in her mind. Well, what are you going to do with your time? I mean, you're in here. Your body is being taken care of. You don't have to worry about it at all. But your mind is free to soar with the birds, to soar with the astronauts, to soar with the rockets of space. What do you want to be? What do you know? What do you love? And what don't you know? Because it doesn't have to be something we know. So we tell her, thoughts are things. And telling her thoughts are things, we tell her that she has the privilege of creating in her world anything she wants to create. Anything. She has the privilege of creating in her world her family. I see my husband, my children, my relatives, whoever she wants to talk about, in perfect harmony. I see them in perfect harmony. There's no distraction for her. There's no physical distraction for her. Somebody else takes care of that. But I see it, and she's making a thought be a thing. And so her family is now enjoying marvelous, wonderful condition. My family understand that I am doing my thing, and they don't feel sorry for me. You understand? My world understands I'm doing my thing, and they don't feel sorry for me. They make it an opportunity for me to know all things. They don't turn the TV on in my room. I do not want to have the TV or the radio taking my mind away from what I want to work on. If I were able to get up, I'd get up and shut it off, because I want to live in my own consciousness. You see, this is what it means. Our moral strength comes from within ourselves. Our strength to be who we want. You're down and out. You look at Superman, the fellow who played Superman. He fell off a horse and injured himself in such a degree that he's not able to use his body like he should. He's Superman, you know. So what does he do? He has lots of money, and he has a very dedicated wife, and the two of them go out and take on programs to help others. Now, he would never have done that if he hadn't fallen off the horse. He might have done other things, but not those things. And we don't know what is going to be the catalyst that moves us in the direction that we can be most beneficial. Now, this guy, he has his face plastered over everywhere, and he has written books, and he's done other things, and he's alert. And the world loves him, because he cares about himself, and he cares about the world he lives in. Now, if this lady living in her mind, could be given some beautiful ideas. There now is peace on earth, and it has begun with me. You see, just singing that little song to her, just as Irene sits in her room, there now is peace on earth, and it has begun with me. Now there is peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. And you see, the woman probably wouldn't pay any attention the first, second, third time. But after a while, with Irene's beautiful voice, with Irene's dedication, with Irene's love, she is planting in that woman's mind. One mind is all it takes. One mind is all it takes to bring peace on earth. One mind. She's planting in that woman's mind the possibility of being the peace creator on earth, the peace demonstrator. There now is peace on earth, and it began with me. There now is peace on earth, and it began with me. As I was walking the path this morning, I was enjoying the beautiful morning, lovely temperature, the moon was still out bright and full, everything was lovely. And I was thinking to myself, we have Mexicans who, international travelers, like to walk across our property. We have coyotes, we have other creatures in Border Patrol who like to chase the international travelers. They just have a game there. And so we have these things going on here on campus. Now, I personally have no interest in them whatsoever. And so if they make themselves known to me, I just walk on by and say good morning and go on by as though they don't even exist. And in all the many years we've been here, I have not seen hardly any international travelers. I don't want to see them. I don't choose to see them. I have no interest in them being in my world. I'm not against them, but I'm not interested in them being in. I don't want anyone in my world who is not harmonious with what I believe and teach and am. If anybody comes in my world who is not harmonious with what I am, they'll soon leave. Now, you say, well, how can you avoid seeing them if they're there? Well, you're in Times Square in New York, or any busy place, and you're walking along, and all of a sudden, some intuitiveness pops into your mind and says, Mother is walking on the other side of the street. And you look over there where you would not have looked before. You didn't even notice all these people you're walking by you. But Mother is walking down. And so you look right where she, oh, there's Mom. And then you get over to her and say, Mom, what you doing in town today? You know, my goodness, how did you see me? You see, we create what we want to create in our life. We create the conditions we want. Now, is it moral? And what is moral? Is it moral for us to say that this lady should be allowed to die because she's just living in her brain? Or is it moral for us to say she has created this for herself as an opportunity for herself to take control of the gift that she claimed so much earlier in her life? You know, we do claim these gifts. And now she has the opportunity to do something about it. Wonderful, isn't it? Now, what about you? What about me? Do we have gifts that are coming in our life constantly and we ignore them? Do we say that, I don't want that test. I don't want that. I don't want to be fortified. And so then we run away from it or we complain. And when you complain, what do? All you do is just delay the eventual experience that that gift has for you. Now, you don't have to do it even in this lifetime. You can move on to another dimension and not do it. And that's another topic. But you can move on to another dimension and not do it. You know, we think we're so smart. We think we're so brilliant. We live in this world and we see each other. We see the people that we have created in our world. If we could tune in to the multidimensional status like multimedia sort of thing, you know, multidimensional status of the multi dimensions that are all around us, we would see life experiences that we never dreamed were possible, and we would see a rehash of history as it really was. Now, if the historians, instead of writing history from the information they have, would go there and see it for themselves, wouldn't that make an interesting history? But would it make a true history? No, because it would be from their point of view, from their background of information and so forth, and they're seeing it. And you see, we don't know these things. We don't know these things, but we can. We can know all these things and be one with all these things and enjoy it if we wish. But what it demands is that we take charge. It demands that we do not feel sorry for ourselves. We just say, so I have this condition, or my mother has this condition, or somebody has this condition. Now, does Bill Gates ever feel sorry that his mother didn't live to see the glory that he expressed, being the richest man in the world? If he does, Bill Gates is not the man I think he is. I think that Bill Gates lives each moment of his life to its fullest and enjoys it. When his mother was with him, he delighted in her presence. When his mother left, he released her. He didn't live yesterday today saying, wouldn't it be nice if mother could see how rich I am? You know, I mean, well, bully. He did pretty well before she left, but bully. You see, that's you, and that's me, and that's society that says, you know, wouldn't our parents be proud of us? No, they wouldn't. Our parents really don't give a darn what we do. What do our parents care about? Huh? Huh? What do our parents care about? That we're happy. Are you happy? You married that interesting person that I really don't understand why, but are you happy? Yes, Mom, I am happy. Then wonderful. They're not going to try to get you unmarried from somebody that you're happy with. That's a stupid thing to do, isn't it? Even though it may be to your better interest to be unmarried to them, but your mother and dad are not going to do that. They're going to say, that's our daughter-in-law, our son-in-law, whatever, and that's what it is, you know. Be yourself and have fun. Do you think that Stephen Hawking is having fun? He is playing games with his mind like you wouldn't imagine. Now, do you think that this lady that Irene's working with is having fun? No, because she's focusing on the wrong direction. The thoughts that are things that she is focusing on are, it's too bad that she has to live in that condition. Now, once Irene begins to share with her that this condition does not limit her in any way from using her mind and having thoughts be things and to bless her family, to bless her world, to bless her country, to bless her nation, to bless her world, to bless everybody and bring peace on earth. Now, could she say this? I've always been interested in medicine. I now see medical centers in every area of the world, so people have the advantage of using it. I now see that. I now see that. And you see, she doesn't have anything to make her country-wise, does she? All she has is her own mind. And so as she begins to see these things in her own mind, then they begin to happen. Why is it they haven't happened more than they have? Because people see the limitations. They see that it can't be done, and therefore it's not done. However, when people see the unlimitedness, then they're there. They don't care. Einstein didn't care that he was called absent-minded because he forgot to put his shoes on or put the wrong socks and what have you. And he didn't care. He was living in his beautiful consciousness of imagination. And I would venture to say that whatever mistakes Einstein made in the very near future will be proved to be valid and not mistakes. You see, this is what happens to us. Every day, doctors are telling us different things they say no on this, and then they say yes, and don't take aspirin, do take aspirin, don't take salt, do take salt. You know, they have all of these things that new research brings up, and new research will probably bring up another set of no and yes and no and yes, you know. And so what are we supposed to do? Ellen, what are we supposed to do when we cook?
Being ourselves and having fun.
Ellen, what are we supposed to do when we cook? Ingeborg, what are we supposed to do?
Divine
order. Oh, my God. What we're supposed to do when we cook is to use a moderate flame. Medium.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to do when we cook? We're supposed to use a medium flame. Not high, not low, a medium flame. We're not supposed to overburn it and make it go faster than we can handle it, and we don't want to take forever for the meal to be done. So we use a medium flame. And we use medium in everything that we do. Even when we're inclined to go fast, we use medium. A lot of people who swam underwater great distances burst their lungs and died. And they had a lot of other problems that faced them. But the thing is, that's because they felt they were swimming underwater holding their breath. If they had felt they were swimming underwater using their breath, they wouldn't fight it. And they would flow with it. It wouldn't be that they'd let breath out or take breath in, but they wouldn't need it. But you see, so long as you need anything, it possesses you. And so long as this lady needs to have her body be available to do things, what would she do? She would get up and she'd go about her everyday activities, making her meals and stuff. Well, that's fun. That's really... Here, you've got a chance to live in your mind, to live in your beautiful thought, to live in the magic of who you are, of who we all are. Our bodies can come and go, but our spirit, our mind, stays forever with us. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Think on these things, because they really are quite important for all of us. And as we think on them, wow, what great things happen to us. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.